Living with Albinism, read by Rosemary Ronald for the Royal New Zealand Foundation of the Blind. These notes have been compiled as a peer support resource by the Albinism Trust and are based on its booklet titled Eyes Right, ISBN 978-0-473-20429-7. By Alan J. Little, QSM, JP, Levin. September 2014. Dangers of sun. A person with albinism does not tan and is prone to rapid sunburn. People with albinism are highly sensitive to UV exposure and have to be very careful not to get sunburned, as they burn very easily and are therefore at a very high risk of skin cancers. Besides the slip-slop-and-slap regimen to reduce sun damage, regular visits to a dermatologist are wise. The skin of a person with albinism is very susceptible to rapid burning. They have significant impairment of their vision and can be very sensitive to bright light, photosensitive. There are two main types of albinism. 1. Oculocutaneous albinism, OCA. Is where melanin pigment is missing or in very small amounts in the skin, hair, and the eyes. 2. Ocular albinism, OA, is where melanin is mainly missing in the eyes, with the hair and skin appearing normal, possibly regarded as just very blonde. Albinism genetics are both complex and varied. It's not a case of having done or not done something which determines an individual's status as a person with albinism. Albinism is not something to be ashamed of or embarrassed about, but sadly, many people are uncomfortable and develop negative thoughts or feelings about this unavoidable condition. Albinism does not affect physical or mental development. All the ages and stages of living follow the usual pattern. People with albinism don't have developmental or cognitive problems. Many albinos mature to live successful family lives with numerous and diverse personal or professional accomplishments. They're the same as everyone else, raising families, enjoying hobbies and interests, laughing, crying, just as their friends, neighbours or acquaintances do. Some people with albinism do manage to pass the driver's license test and own motor vehicles, but many others are legally blind because their visual acuity is not great. Transport and getting about is one of the big challenges for people with albinism who are sight impaired. Effects of albinism. There are four ways in which albinism affects people. 1. Vision impairment. 2. Skin protection. 3. Hair colour. 4. Social stigma. Often new parents worry when they cannot contact a competent health professional for reassurance and advice. There is a nationwide helpline available, and calls to it are free within New Zealand from a cell phone or landline. Call 0800 611 116 if either a child or yourself is feeling unwell and you're not sure whether you need to see a doctor when your own medical practitioner is not available. A person with albinism is not a sick individual or in need of other than normal everyday medical care or attention. Because there is no cure for albinism, all that can be done to help is to enable living, recognizing the broad spectrum of individual differences and choices available to all. Vision impairment. The level of vision impairment is determined by the type of albinism and how well eyes have been cared for. Regular eye care assessments will help determine general health of the eyes. In addition, it needs to be understood a wide variety of conditions can develop and affect eyesight besides albinism. For example, the person who is diabetic would want to be aware how that condition can affect the eyes. Many people with albinism have low vision and hold things up close to see them better. Low vision is when, even after interventions like glasses, people have difficulty distinguishing objects and/or distances. People with low vision can be helped by simple, inexpensive changes to their environment or using specially made devices. Eye care professionals measure eyesight against recognized standards based on what most people are able to see on a standard eye test chart. By contrast, the person with albinism is affected by how much melanin is present during the development of the eyes and their tolerance of light or glare. Many people with albinism squint their eyes and peer in order to see. This can cause stress and headache discomfort or fatigue. Headaches are not uncommon amongst people with albinism and should be discussed with a registered medical practitioner. Headaches are a physical response to light and glare, not simply stress and anxiety. Note, there are many causes of headache, and it's important to ensure all options are considered by a competent medical professional. The importance of having a long-term involvement with a competent eye care professional who understands and equips for success cannot be overstated. People with albinism should ask questions and be given the information they want and can understand. With competently prescribed low-vision aids and appliances, the person with albinism will usually perform daily tasks with comfort and competence. A low-vision assessment is an important consideration and can result in provision of aids or appliances which greatly enhance enjoyment of life. Real care should be taken to avoid being oversupplied with sophisticated technologies which are underutilized and soon outdated. Some electronic technologies can be very expensive and may prove to be unnecessary in the big picture. Responsibility for looking after the eyes falls on the individual. For the sake of comfort, it is wise to wear transition lenses which filter glare. Most people with albinism are significantly visually impaired, but manage everyday and familiar things because they learn to live with what they have rather than the converse. Most people with sight loss do the best they can where they're at. Much of what you do and achieve depends on attitude and expectation. If the environment is poor and disorganized, then personal comfort and productivity may be affected. The eyesight of a person with albinism is hard to explain and equally hard to conceptualize. Unless you've had it, there's no way of knowing what normal vision is like. It's hard to understand or explain what is seen, as it's not simply about blurry vision, big or small, distance or proximity. They see colours just like normal sighted people, but find small detail hard to make out. They just get on with living and doing what's needed to be done. Above all, the key to getting on in life is having competent, ongoing assessments aimed at realistically equipping the individual for success and safety. Assessment by low-vision specialists will involve discussions around your lifestyle, hopes, dreams, and aspirations, while matching optics to enable and help in diverse situations. Promotion of accessible and affordable low-vision services is a priority for the Albinism Trust. For a person with albinism, low vision assessment will identify things which help or hinder an individual's potential at home, school, work, or play. The use of low vision apparatus increases visual efficiency in a variety of environments and enables successful daily living. Sight and eyesight. One of the big questions we're often asked is, what is normal vision? To answer this, we need to understand visual acuity, which is acuteness or clearness of vision. It depends on optical and neural factors, the sharpness of the retinal focus within the eye, the intactness and functioning of the retina, and the sensitivity of the interpretative faculty of the brain. Normal visual acuity is commonly referred to as 6-6 vision. A child with 6-6 normal vision should see regular print and age-appropriate content with comfort. It's important from earliest years to have a competent eye assessment and examination. Not everyone who makes or prescribes glasses is experienced in assessment and care of patients with albinism. There are some excellent eye care professionals, and we encourage a long-term relationship with such professionals. A family doctor should be able to advise on the availability of and access to competent eye care professionals. Lack of pigment. Our skin receives its colour from cells called melanocytes. These cells produce a pigment known as melanin, which not only gives the skin its colour, but also helps to protect it from the sun's harmful rays. When a person is unable to produce melanin, he or she may be diagnosed with albinism. This is an inherited congenital condition which comes in different forms as a result of several genetic variations and can affect both men and women regardless of nationality or ethnic origin. In albinism, the common denominator is a lack of melanin, which impacts vision in three ways. 1. In a normal-sighted eye, the optic nerve, which connects the eyeball to the brain, includes some fibres which stay on one side of the brain and some that cross over to the other. Melanin provides the signal which indicates which fibres should cross over and which should not. In albinism, the lack of melanin results in an improper crossing, which leads to poor depth perception. 2. The retina, back of the eyeball, is made up of several cell layers, one known as the retinal pigment epithelium, and converts incoming images into a signal which is routed to the brain. People with albinism are missing the melanin which should lie within the retinal pigment epithelium. Without it, this signal is not processed properly and vision is impaired. 3. Decreased pigment in the iris, part of the eye with colour, and the retina leads to a diminished ability to absorb light, as light reflects off normal blood vessels in the back of the eye and through the pale iris. The effect is the red colour sometimes seen in people with albinism. Insufficient iris pigmentation also causes people with albinism to be more light sensitive and experience discomfort in bright light. There is a lot of misinformation around, and it's important to have reliable, trustworthy advice from someone who knows both the patient's needs and market availability. Albinism and vision issues. People who have albinism always experience vision issues, with a number of them having low vision. The degree to which a person with albinism experiences a vision impairment varies with the form of albinism they have. Many people can be helped to use their limited vision with properly designed and inexpensive optical aids. A portion of the population with albinism is legally blind, although they still have the ability to read. The term legally blind is one for which many ask for an explanation. To be eligible for membership with the Blind Foundation, an assessment is made by a medical professional such as an optometrist or ophthalmologist, eye specialist. No one is too young or too old to become a Blind Foundation member. It's something which should be considered and is not an admission of defeat. Many members are not completely blind and have some useful vision. However, all members must meet the registration criteria. Albinism Trust is happy to support and advise any person with albinism interested in being a member of the Blind Foundation. New Zealand residents who, after seeing an optician or ophthalmologist, prove to have a visual acuity not exceeding 6/24 in the better eye with corrective lenses, or serious limitations in the field of vision, generally not greater than 20 degrees in the widest diameter in the better eye, are eligible for registration. Children and young adults must also have a referral from an ophthalmologist or optometrist. All children and young adults 21 years of age and under who are currently registered with visual resource centres, regardless of their degree of vision loss, may apply to become a Blind Foundation member. There are a variety of other diagnoses which may be attributed to a person with albinism, including astigmatism, far-sighted or near-sightedness, an iris with little or no pigmentation, photophobia or sensitivity to bright light and glare, nystagmus or regular horizontal back and forth movement of the eyes, foveal hyperplasia, underdeveloped retina prior to birth and during infancy, strabismus or muscle imbalance of the eyes, lazy or deviating eye. One of the best things that can be done for an infant with albinism is to have the child comprehensively assessed by an ophthalmologist who is willing to commit to long-term care as the eyes mature. Modern lenses can be custom designed to help with daily living requirements. Glare is an issue for people with albinism, and this can often be managed without inconveniencing others. It's important that an adequately lit and comfortable environment becomes a priority for everyone. People with albinism live within the community and not apart from it, and therefore there will be times when common sense, give and take needs to be the underlying principle in shared settings. The use of tinted contact lenses or sunglasses can help outside, and shades or curtains will make things more comfortable indoors. Letting the person with albinism organize their own work area settings is useful. Never make assumptions about what is or is not useful. Someone with albinism may have particular personal preferences which suit in some circumstances and not in others. A light source shining over the person's shoulder instead of in front of them, for example, is often preferable. Optical aids. There are a number of different optical aids a person with albinism can use, depending upon how they use their eyes at work or during other activities. Do not be tempted to use the sophisticated and expensive applications which many commercial enterprises want to sell you. Often their only interest is in how much they can make from customers being sold sophisticated technologies. Bifocals with strong reading lenses or prescription glasses as well as contact lenses might help. There are also handheld magnifying devices or even small, specially constructed telescopes that some people with albinism prefer to use. Screen magnification software or hardware can help while using a computer. Bioptics are glasses with small telescopes mounted on, in, or behind a person's regular lenses, so they may look through either their glasses or the telescope. Newer bioptic designs use lenses that are both smaller and lighter in weight. Ophthalmologists and optometrists who have experience in working with people who have low vision might recommend different optical aids. Vision clinics should provide a person with albinism any aids on a trial or loan basis, as well as any instructions for using them. An aid or appliance is expensive when it is unsuitable, underused, or set aside because of dissatisfaction. The majority of people who have albinism present with a fair complexion, yet a person's hair or skin color is not sufficient reason to diagnose albinism. People with albinism are affected by light, glare, and distance. They don't have glowing red eyes except in extreme floodlighting or when flashlight photography is used. You can get a hunch as to a professional's eye care competence when they insist on looking into your eyes with a bright, direct, and intense light. There are times when this will be necessary, but it should be an exception rather than a rule when it comes to eye examination for a person with albinism. Fixed light examination should be kept to a minimum so to avoid stressful discomfort. A competent eye professional will be aware of astigmatism and nystagmus as well as pathologies associated with albinism. The objective of any eye examination would be to find a patient's maximum usable vision to enable safe and successful living. Never hesitate to ask your doctor questions and to get answers you understand. This is a basic health and disability right in New Zealand to receive this information. As a parent, it's important to observe the wide variety of function and limitations without drawing unnecessary negative attention to differences. At all times, safety and welfare are paramount as children recognize their own capabilities. Most people with albinism have eye colours of blue-grey or hazel, although they may have differing eye colours if they're from certain ethnic backgrounds. Simple things can help most people with albinism. Wear a cap or sun hat to shade their eyes. Use small hand monocular lenses. For mobility, have discrete hand magnifiers to read. Prefer to write with black ballpoint pens. Benefit from large print and clear fonts. Look closely at their work. Have close personal body space. Light curtains to reduce or shade glare and excess light. Use the telephone as a tool. Need to be driven rather than drive vehicles. Enjoy diverse interests and hobbies. Have thoughts, feelings, and ambitions. Expensive adaptive technology is not always the best or most suitable for the individual. There is no one-size-for-all rule when equipping for success or enjoyment of life. Skin protection. Without melanin to help protect skin from the sun's harmful ultraviolet, UV, light, people with albinism burn very easily. It is important to use appropriate skin protection because of the potential to develop life-threatening forms of skin cancers. The use of sunscreen lotions with a rating of 30 plus SPF and protective clothing allows people with albinism to enjoy outdoor activities in the summer. It is worth remembering that not all lotions with a high SPF give adequate safe sun protection. Consulting an experienced pharmacist is a wise precaution. Common sense is of utmost importance when it comes to protection from the sun's harmful rays. The old maternal habit of leaving an infant to lay exposed to the sun for a kick and fresh air should be avoided for a youngster with albinism. Skin damage starts when the skin is first exposed to harmful rays. The sun's rays often penetrate fabrics that garments are made from, but this should not prevent the wearing of attractive and fashionable attire. In common with every other Kiwi, albinos should practice good sun sense, doing the standard slip-slop-slap. Albinism Trust has facilitated inclusion of certain sunscreens on the pharmaceuticals list. Your general practitioner simply gives you a prescription which is handled at the local pharmacy. Slip on a shirt, slop on sunscreen, and slap on a hat, and stay out of the sun during the times when UV is most intense. Some people with albinism enjoy the surf, but just not at the time of day when there is the danger of being sunburnt. In general, many people can come up with all sorts of reasons why they should not do something. The three keys to enjoyment are 1. Energy, 2. Imagination, 3. Opportunity. One's albinism might carry constraints, but it should never limit enjoyment of life. With a bit of common sense, ingenuity, and lateral thinking, most people with albinism can, and do, enjoy many recreational activities. Albinism should not prevent full participation and equal opportunities in the pleasures of living. Hair colour. White hair sure makes a person with albinism stand out in a crowd. It's a real issue for many who simply want to blend in as naturally as possible. Sadly, some people take to colouring their hair so they don't look like a person with albinism. Large amounts of money can be spent on this vanity trip, but it is everyone's right to be the person they want and to colour their hair if it makes them feel better. White hair is said to be a real conversation starter and hard not to notice. In their ignorance, some people turn and stare at individuals of fair complexion and white hair. This can cause embarrassment and discomfort for the individual. Whilst elderly people are accustomed to greying and whitish hair, it's usually not something seen on a child or teenager. Younger people just want to hang out with their friends and not be noticed. Having white hair can cause all sorts of complications for teenagers, particularly when they're sensitive to peer pressure. There are things which go on in the adolescent world which defy interpretation by many adults. Reputation is not about looks, but rather what you do with your life. In the kaleidoscope of emotion, identity, hormones, and maturation, the added concern of albinism may be overwhelming to some. Adults need considerable sensitivity to a young albino's individual hopes and aspirations in order to positively support development and self-esteem. Social stigma. What your peers think and feel about you is always of importance. Albinism and its features can generate horrendous bias and be disabling. At one extreme over recent years, there have been very sad reports of inhumane treatment of people with albinism in some African countries. Fortunately, we don't have this horrid extreme in New Zealand, but we still have prejudice and exclusion because of difference. Some people act quite insensitively towards others who look different, but in reality this says more about them than it does about the focus of their attention. Thankfully, we have laws about discrimination in New Zealand, and the vast majority of Kiwis have a healthy and positive attitude toward others who look different. If discrimination occurs, don't draw attention to it, but share issues and concerns with family, trusted friends, or the Albinism Trust. Social stigma is based on ignorance, and the Albinism Trust is proactive in fostering awareness and positive attitudes concerning albinism. Overcoming stigma is one thing, preventing it is another. Stigmatizing is a form of bullying and does not belong in a fair, just, and inclusive society. Stigma is a disabling attitude shown toward anyone who looks different or has an affliction where they stand out from what is stereotyped as normal. To quote Barbara Geraci, "Our background and circumstances may have influenced who we are, but we are responsible for who we become." Bullying. Sadly, we need to highlight this issue which affects some people with albinism at various ages and stages of life. It can be subtle and not of importance, but it does need to be taken seriously. The cumulative effect can have a lasting impact on an individual's esteem and self-worth. Bullying is when someone keeps doing or saying things to have power over another person. It might happen that a person with albinism can become the victim of unwanted attention. Being called names, saying or writing nasty things about them, sidelining from activities and not talking to them can lead to uncomfortable feelings. No matter what form bullying takes, it is a wrong behaviour which makes the victim feel afraid or uncomfortable. It's always best to treat others the way you would like to be treated. People with albinism have the right to feel safe and secure. If bullying is an issue, move into a well-populated safe area. Don't retaliate or escalate. Connect with trusted friends or family. Seek support and advice from a teacher colleague or family member. Remain confident and don't be intimidated. On the right track. From earlier stages, children with albinism should be encouraged to enjoy living and participate in the educational system. As a baby develops, parents will see natural occurrences through their play and exploration. It is important to know educational support is available right from the start for children who are blind or have low vision. The Blind and Low Vision Education Network NZ, or BLENS, has a network of educational services throughout the country and a main base at Homai Campus in Auckland. BLENS teachers are specialists and referred to as Resource Teachers Vision, RTV, and are based in the various visual resource centres throughout the country. They provide educational support for babies through to young people up to leaving school. They visit in the home for babies and children up to the age of 5 at early childhood facilities. For school-age students, RTVs will provide support in whatever school the student is attending, making sure educational needs are being met, whether a new baby or student sitting NCEA. Parents can initiate a referral to their Visual Resource Centre, and an RTV will assess the child's educational needs, always working in partnership with the family. Children with albinism have low vision and sun sensitivity, but are otherwise normal children. Tertiary education. A number of people with albinism progress to succeed at and enjoy impressive academic careers. New Zealand universities and vocational colleges are enabling students to lead long and satisfying working lives. Quote, imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we now know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. Albert Einstein. Working. People with albinism have become well established and successful in many vocations. Teachers, doctors, lecturers, clergy, mechanics, broadcasters, musicians, householders, clerical workers, cooks, nurses, storemen, publishers, astrophysicists, lawyers, psychologists, bakers, technicians, publishers, IT specialists, farmers, accountants, counsellors, and many other similar careers. Given the right opportunities, there's nothing which can prevent an individual from realizing and excelling in their chosen vocation. Adult life. Having survived the early years, it's time to take on the adventure of establishing one's own home and family life. People with albinism can and do enjoy all aspects of family living. There's no reason why they should not have children. It would be worthwhile having a conversation around family planning matters just to be clear about expectations and possibilities of having children with albinism. There's nothing wrong in that. A family doctor should be able to give guidance on questions of genetics and probability. Many different genes can be mutated to cause albinism. Our genes carry all the data from generation to generation. Making melanin requires lots of special proteins called enzymes, which bind our chemicals. The possibility of having their own children should not be removed from any person with albinism. If parents are among the 1 in 75 people who carry the right genetics, they might, but not necessarily, have children with albinism. The genetics are complicated, and it is recommended that honest discussion takes place with a competent medical practitioner. People with albinism should enjoy the full spectrum of human relations, including procreation. We were saddened to learn of one young couple who were put under all sorts of family and other pressure and told not to have children. Half-truths and misinformation are soul-destroying for would-be parents. Looking ahead. Albinism Trust aims to foster capability and enjoyment of life for people with albinism, their families and friends. We want people with albinism to feel good about who they are and thrive, regardless of the thoughts and opinions of the uninformed. There are a number of ways to make the world a better place, and they all start with ourselves doing the best we can with what we have where we are. If we approach daily life with positive, respectful and inclusive attitudes, everyone will benefit, and our shared world will be more congenial. Many people with albinism seem to have an ability to rise over adversity and thrive. There will always be those who don't believe in exploring possibilities. Our world is a place which is rich in opportunities, and we all have the responsibility for the choices we make. Encouraging a young person with albinism to have confidence in their capabilities, rather than a focus on their disabilities, will help them to get on in life. Nurturing optimistic rather than pessimistic attitudes leads to a sense of enabling. To quote from St. Francis of Assisi, "Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible." Albinism Trust encourages all families with an albino child or children to establish and maintain the best possible relationship with their general practitioner and other universally available health professionals. This includes the Well Child Tamariki Ora program, which is a series of health assessments and support services for children and their families from birth to 5 years that is an important gateway for parents to access primary and specialist healthcare, education and social services. This is important because children's needs change as they mature and develop. In some situations, providers of support services for the development, health and well-being of children under 5 might need to learn about albinism. We suggest that parents and caregivers of children with albinism ask questions and seek clarification of information they have concerns about. Children with albinism should enjoy the same opportunities as their siblings. Parents will be aware of the basics of safety, happiness, and satisfaction. It is worth remembering there is no one shoe which fits all when it comes to care of children. We believe all children should enjoy life and interact as best they can, participate in early childhood education, interact fully with their peers and siblings, play, explore, and experiment with games, avoid unreasonable exposure to the sun's rays, set their own viewing distances for TV or computers, have access to bold or large print storybooks. Some parents find it useful belonging to their local community, toy library, or play centre. We suggest it would be advisable having a conversation with Blends so that learning and educational needs of the child can be assessed. Contact details for Blends are on our links page. Indeed, if required, the Blind Foundation has a highly skilled child and families worker available for advice. To sum up, the two main concerns for people living with albinism are 1. Eyesight and reduced or low vision. 2. Skin care and avoidance of sunburn. For some people, albinism affects only their eyes. This is known as ocular albinism. People with ocular albinism usually have blue eyes, and in some cases, the iris, the coloured part of the eye, has very little colour. The eyes might look pink or reddish. This is caused by the blood vessels inside the eye showing through the iris. On the other hand, in some forms of ocular albinism, the hearing nerves may be affected, and the person may develop hearing problems or deafness over time. For those who qualify, extra help is available. The Ministry of Health, for instance, offers a subsidy on spectacles, as detailed on their website. Explaining albinism to children can be difficult. It is hoped this audio resource and our booklet, Eyes Right, will help parents to have realistic expectations about children with albinism. Albinism Trust aims to encourage the sharing of information about albinism. It's focused on positive attitudes and pursuit of opportunities. For more information or assistance, write to Albinism Trust, 7 Earl Street, Levin, 5510. Email albinism@inspire.net.nz. That concludes this recording of Living with Albinism by Alan J. Little, QSM JP, Levin, September 2014. Read by Rosemary Ronald for the Royal New Zealand Foundation of the Blind. Misconceptions. From time to time we learn about young parents who have a new infant with albinism and struggle to get their questions answered. We have young families in the group who are ready and willing to give advice or support if required. There are many misconceptions about albinism because it is a poorly understood condition. The idea of the evil albino, while ridiculous, has been perpetuated by books, movies, and the general media. People with albinism are regular people who happen to have a decreased amount of pigment in their hair, skin, and eyes. It is important for parents to be reassured and get answers they want. We firmly believe the mums and dads of babies with albinism know their child best, and Albinism Trust is here to help when or if called upon to do so. We also know that some families can struggle to get their head around lots of misinformation and ill-informed advice about albinism. We encourage people to talk about things and ask questions so they get the information they need to be reassured. In New Zealand, it's estimated that one person in every 17,000 has some type of albinism. People with albinism have absent or reduced pigment in their eyes, skin, or hair. They have inherited genes which do not make the usual amounts of a pigment called melanin, which is essential for the full development of the retina. Lack of melanin in development of the retina is the primary cause of visual impairment in albinism. Albinism can affect the eyes, skin, and hair. Oculocutaneous albinism, or only the eyes, ocular albinism. Every person with albinism is an individual with potential. There are people with albinism in every sector of society, overcoming challenges such as low vision and sunburn. There are estimated to be about 75 children known to have albinism in New Zealand. We aim to connect with all people with albinism to support and encourage them. Some parents and families become anxious when an infant arrives who is confirmed to have albinism. We want to reassure and encourage new parents to enjoy loving and nurturing their infant. Albinism is a genetic condition where people are born without the usual pigment, colour, in their bodies. Their bodies aren't able to make a normal amount of melanin, which is responsible for eye, skin and hair colour. Most people with albinism have very pale skin, hair and eyes. Albinism can affect people of all races, and there are different kinds of albinism. Over the years, many hours have been spent talking with and reassuring parents who are concerned at having a new infant with albinism. There exists so much negative misinformation that the Albinism Trust feels a need to produce this audio information in an effort to allay anxieties. Albinism Trust echoes the Children's Commissioner's aim that the interests and rights of every child or young person are recognised so that each enjoys a safe and secure family life, good health, education, economic and socio-cultural well-being, plus opportunities to actively participate in matters which affect them. We want all mums, dads, siblings, grandparents, uncles and aunties, together with the wider community, to enable every success and enjoyment of life for youngsters with albinism. We believe the priorities are nurturing by loving, caring parents, maximum opportunities to play and learn, peer group socialization, environmental safety and personal health, individual rights to just be a child. Anyone can become more successful in life. Individuals can overcome or work through barriers to success. Individual success and happiness does not depend on other people. Every situation can be improved with stronger personal relationship and work strengths and skills. Success is built one skill at a time. Albinism should not prevent personal success, achievement, or enjoyment of life. First words. Often the first words a young parent hears go something like this. I'm sorry to tell you your child has a condition called albinism. Or, gee, your baby has such pale features, I think he or she is an albino. There's some hypersensitivity around words like albino, which does little to enhance the understanding of albinism. Research has confirmed very few doctors, nurses and other health professionals have had training about albinism. Many health professionals feel awkward and uncomfortable because they have little knowledge and experience dealing with variations from the norm. One of the most intimidating things young parents encounter is what others think or feel about an infant. Whether it's a well-meaning friend, neighbour, relative or a health professional, their views are probably based on scant knowledge or experience. The reality is there's little which can be done about the fact that a child with albinism is simply that, a child, and should be treated as any of their peers or siblings. If you have an albino baby, love them. If you know an albino child, include them. If you meet an albino teen, befriend them. If you see an albino adult, engage them. If you are an albino person, be yourself. Except for eye problems, most people with albinism are just as healthy as anyone else and can advance to become useful citizens in their own right. In every respect, the future for people with albinism is built on their childhood foundations. What is albinism? Albinism is an inherited condition where normal pigmentation is absent. It's seen across all living species. People with albinism have little or no pigment in their eyes, skin, and hair. Apart from this, they have the same physiology as others and are usually happy, healthy people. Albinism involves a group of inherited conditions. People affected by albinism have little or no pigmentation in their hair, eyes, or skin, and have inherited genes which have been altered and do not produce the average amounts of a pigment known as melanin. This can affect people from all ethnicities. Many people are not aware they have albinism until it's diagnosed. They feel a mixture of emotions when they're told their new infant has albinism. There's often an unnecessary cycle of shame, blame, and guilt associated with the diagnosis of albinism. It's worth noting children with albinism are usually born to parents who have average eye and hair colour. A new baby with albinism can cause real upset amongst some Pacific and other ethnic populations. A real myth about albinism is everyone with it has red eyes. The fact is, there are different forms of albinism, and the amount of pigmentation in the person's eyes varies from individual to individual. While some people with albinism do have violet or reddish eyes, the majority are more bluish. Some people with albinism even have brown or hazel eyes. Unfortunately, every form of albinism is associated with vision issues. Not everyone with albinism has white hair and fair complexion, although most do. A person with albinism may have different characteristics in other racial groups, such as Polynesians or Asian. They can have a dark complexion and ginger hair. Albinism is caused by inheriting altered genes from parents, and these genes do not allow the body to make usual amounts of a pigment called melanin. Melanin is a compound that protects our skin from ultraviolet, UV, light, which causes our skin to tan. When a person is born an albino, this cannot be changed. They are not sick or inflicted with a disease, as some people think. In some countries, people with albinism are shunned and treated quite inhumanely because they're thought to have strange powers. Such extreme prejudice does not exist in New Zealand, but occurs elsewhere in Oceania.